Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
I got to be honest with you. This is either going to be a great hour or not. Our topic this hour on Catholic Answers Live, I am Cy Kellett, your host, by the way. And our topic this hour is you and your spiritual life. Any questions that you have of a pastoral nature, if you have issues of family, spiritual life, prayer, we're happy to take those. And our former chaplain, Father Vincent Serpa, has returned to the fold for an hour to take those calls. He's a Dominican priest and 17 years here as an apologist and chaplain. And he only left us about a month and a half ago, and things have fallen apart since he left. Father Vincent Serpa, thanks for coming back.
Well, anything I can do.
Well, it'll start here. Yeah, all the calls for spiritual help are going to come from within the building today. For people. Father, please come back. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. And I wish we had had you on yesterday, but I'll say it a day late. Happy feast day.
Oh, thank you.
For St. Dominic.
Well, that's okay. Where I'm stationed here, we have three St. Dominic's parishes, and now that I'm here, I've been stationed in all three of them. This one is we're celebrating for the parish. We're celebrating on next Sunday. They're having what they call Mass on the Grass. It's going to be at a local Catholic high school and out in the field, and there'll be Mass, and they'll have a barbecue afterwards. It'll be kind of nice.
That's very, very nice. Mm-hmm. Could I avail upon you to tell us a little bit about St. Dominic for those who don't know? St. Dominic's feast day was yesterday. Mm-hmm. St. Dominic is a very, very important saint in the history of the church, and Father is a Dominican. So could you just tell us a little bit about who your founder is?
St. Dominic was originally a canon, an Augustinian canon. He worked at a parish, the cathedral in Osma, Spain, and went on a trip to accompany a bishop, and I'm really cutting things short here, but he became aware of the ignorance of the faith in so many people, and there was this movement by the Albies, we call it Albigensianism now, where they were believing in a duality, two gods, a god of the spirit and a god of the flesh. The god of the spirit was good and the god of the flesh was bad, so that everything that was earthy, that was concrete, was evil, and only the spiritual was good. And so there was hope for, and of course they had various levels. There were the elite who were able to do whatever they wanted, and then they'd receive this one sacrament, and everything would be fine. And the other people, that was supposed to be the case for them as well, but they looked down on marriage because it created more physical human beings and so on. So anyway, St. Dominic began to preach, and was not that successful the first time he tried. He began to realize that he needed help. He needed more people. And so eventually he gathered a band around him of preachers, of priests. And all the while he had founded a monastery for women to support them. They were converts or at least people who had returned to the faith after having been involved in this movement. But it was strong in the local towns that it would be just too difficult for them to maintain their Catholicism by themselves. So they joined this monastery that he founded, and he founded them first, and then he'd have them pray for his preachers when they went out, and they would gather there at the monastery and for spiritual nourishment, and then they'd go out and preach again. Well, this was the beginning of the Dominican Order. Eventually, he organized them, and but then after they're coming together for a relatively short amount of time, with it less than a year, he sent them out two by two to various countries and so on, and that's how the Dominican Order it flourished, because they were at this point preaching together and supporting one another. They were successful, and that's how it began. And the first thing he did, he saw the need for education. So he sent them to the world's oldest university, which is the University of Bologna, and then later on to the University of Paris, and where St. Francis was doing was working at the same time. But he was his spirituality was very different, and his situation was different. His order grew much faster for a number of reasons, I suppose. First of all, it was very centered around his personality, which was very dynamic, but also most of his friars were not priests, and so there wasn't the requirement of having to know Latin and so on, you know, that there was for the Dominicans. But they complement each other very well, and still do, as a matter of fact. And so the Dominicans were usually found, at the university. And but they went out preaching to the people in the small towns and so on too. And the order still exists today. I mean, we've had several outstanding members. St. Thomas Aquinas certainly being one of them. St. Catherine of Siena, and many others, St. Martin de Porres, many others. And so we're here. You know, our motto is truth. Our working motto, I guess you'd call it, is to contemplate and to grow to others the fruit of our contemplation. So we're very monastic, but we're also very active.
888-318-7884, our number. That's 888-31-TRUTH. Your spiritual life is our topic today. If you have questions of a spiritual nature, we just take a break just for this hour a couple times a month to tackle pastoral concerns, issues having to do with the spiritual life, the care of souls, the raising of children, the reconciliation of brothers and sisters, all of those things. Father Vincent Serpa is here to help you with. 888-318-7884. Before we go to a break, Father, why does the Pope dress like a Dominican?
Because Pope St. Pius V was a Dominican and wore white, and then the Pope that succeeded him, and this is the one that really made the difference, because he wasn't a Dominican, but he determined to continue wearing white, and then after that, all the popes did. I mean, I suppose they could decide to wear red tomorrow, but they haven't. They've decided to stay with the white.
Even after Labor Day.
Even after Labor Day, that's right.
Continue to wear white. Well, let's take a quick break. Lines are filling up, so if you have questions of a spiritual nature, a pastoral nature, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Father Vincent Serpa, our guest, will be right back with Your Spiritual Life on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Christian men, beware. With the idols of materialism, entertainment, and the flesh, it's plain to see that the world wants you for its own. Face it, it's tempting and easy to be a man of the world. Father Terence Ehrman has a challenge for you. Be a man of God instead. In his new book, Man of God, Lessons to Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ, Father Ehrman draws on his experiences counseling men who are struggling to live in the world but not be of the world. In a unique format, he offers a plan for ongoing conversion, holy spiritual direction for all men who want to master themselves and be transformed from within. Order your copy of Man of God today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 15:21, when a Canaanite woman asked Jesus to heal her daughter, he informed her that he was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. She then did him homage and said, "Lord, help me." He replied, "It is not right to take the food of children and throw it to the dogs." She responded that even the dogs eat the scraps from the table. Typically, he couldn't resist such humility and replied, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." Her daughter was healed immediately. Humility is the key to his Sacred Heart. When we approach him with humility and faith, we are not full of ourselves. What we usually don't realize is that we are already filled with Him. The virtues of humility and faith are gifts we receive from no one other than Him. It is the crosses that he puts in our lives that give us the opportunity to grow in such virtues. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
The former chaplain is in your spiritual life this hour, 888-318-7884. All pastoral questions today, questions of a spiritual nature or a family nature, we're happy to take those calls. You ready, Father?
I'm ready and willing.
I've never Skyped with you before. This is a new experience, Skyping.
Well, we've been in the same room together before, though. I mean, it's not that different.
Well, yeah, I guess not. But you've heard what the Pope says about smelling the sheep. You can't do that through Skype.
I never heard the Pope say anything about that. But
The Pope says the pastors should smell like their sheep. You hadn't heard him say
that? Oh, boy. No, I never heard that. No.
Oh. That's like one of his big ones. I don't know. Where you been, Father? All right, Reese in Springfield, Illinois, listening on Covenant Radio Network. You are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question, please?
Hey, I'm just curious. Actually, is it okay if I ask two questions? The first one is real short, and the second one is one that occurred to me as I was waiting.
Yes, you can ask two questions, but that one counts as one of them.
Okay. So the first one is, when we're supposed to pray, you know, like, but we're not in the mood, like, what do we do to, you know, make ourselves pray, I guess? Like, do we force ourselves to, or is there a better way to do this? And my second question is, so I am my hobby is to, you know, make costumes for movies and all that, but it occupies a whole lot of my time, and I want there to be an even balance between loving God and loving my hobby. So how can I balance that out?
Well, as far as your hobby and God, you know, you can love God with your hobby. And the fact that you have your delight in the particular activity that, you know, is a good thing in itself, that doesn't put you in competition with God. You know, you give thanks for him to him for this thing that you enjoy, whatever it is that you do. And you know, you can do both to some degree. I mean, but it depends on how much concentration your hobby demands of you. But you also want to give time to the Lord as well, though, because the fact is, when you spend time with the Lord and allow him in, everything you do takes on new significance, especially the things you like to do, but everything. And the first one was, what was it? The first thing you asked?
It was on, what do we do when we don't want to pray, but we need to anyway?
Okay. Well, you do it. You know, it's like everything else. There's a certain amount of discipline that's required in life. And if we just do the things that are fun to do all the time, we'll get bored anyway. It doesn't work. So you pray and you do your best. You know, you say a you know, memorized prayer or read a prayer, or just talk to the Lord about your situation. You know, that I'm having a difficult time, Lord, but I want to put you before all things. I love you and thank you for, you know, and then start thinking about the things he's done for you. I mean, the sufferings he endured in the Passion, the good that he's given you, the things that the people in your life that you love that he created. You know, he's the source of all good. So anything good you can think of, you're grateful for because to him, you know. But if you've been trying for a while and you begin to feel fatigued, take a break, you know, get up and walk around. It's like working at the computer. After a while, sometimes you just really have to get up and walk around a bit. You know, that's just kind of necessary. But then go back to it again, because he's important. You know, my goodness, if he's not important, nothing's important. You know, anything that's worthwhile is a result of him. So he's the most worthwhile of all. You know, does that help?
Yeah, thank you very much. Could you keep me in your prayers?
I certainly will. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Reese. Thanks very much. We go now to Diane in Wiley, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Diane, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, Father.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been married to my husband for going on 39 years. My mm-hmm. husband and I were married in the church, and but he was Protestant, and mm-hmm. when we got married, he about 3 years later, he became Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, my husband's quit going to Mass for the last 5 or 6 years now, mm-hmm. and he doesn't communicate to me why he chose to do that. However much I've tried to bring it out and talk with him about it. However, in a couple of years, we will be married, 40 years, I guess in a year and a half or so. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have our marriage blessed in the church,
uh-huh.
Just kind of a renewal of vows. And
sure.
my husband's not opposed to that. I was just wondering if that would be something that they would allow since he's not going to Mass anymore. I was very concerned. They might say, well, we can't really bless your marriage if your husband didn't go to Mass.
I don't think so. I think that might be possibly an entree into his coming to Mass again. You know, who knows? The fact that he's willing and would like to do it is a good sign. You know, I would expect the priest would be okay with it. First of all you have to do is ask the priest to do this. You don't have to. I doubt that the priest is going to ask, well, are you both going to Mass every week? I would be a little surprised if they're familiar with seeing you in church.
Okay.
I don't think you have any worry about that. But if you do have a problem, just tell the priest. Well, you're hoping that this might be an incentive for him to come back, and I don't see why the priest would disagree with that.
Okay.
Thanks, Diane.
Okay. Thank you so much, y'all. And thank
okay.
you for. Having me on. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Call from the train anytime, Diane. It's nice to hear the train in the background. I feel very relaxed after listening.
Was that a train in the background?
I don't know. Maybe she was on a roller coaster. I do not know, Father. Tom in Tennessee. Let's see what kind of transportation he's using today. Listening on EWTN. Tom, your question for Father Serpa.
Thank you, Father. I'm a convert to the mm-hmm. Catholic faith 4 years ago. And over time, after falling in love with the Eucharist and with the Mass as mm-hmm. in total, I've been studying quite diligently, quite a bit about the early history. And mm-hmm. one of the areas that I've been studying recently was quite a bit about the Tridentine Mass / Latin Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, in a conversation with another layperson, they indicated to me that they either misunderstood or had understood incorrectly, possibly, that the Tridentine Mass or the Latin Mass at some point had become banned or forbidden for Dominicans. And when I heard that, I really felt like they must have misunderstood what they'd heard. But I was wondering if you could speak to that for a minute as far as what the particular approach is related to the Latin Mass and the Tridentine and,
sure.
and what your thoughts are on whether that's correct or not.
Well, first of all, it was the Dominican Pope, Pope St. Pius V, who was responsible for making the Tridentine Mass required for the whole Western Church. However, he exempted those religious orders that had been following a particular rite for more than 200 years. They didn't have to change they wanted to. And the Dominican order had been using an older Roman rite for over 200 years. And it was very unified throughout the world. All Dominicans celebrated the Eucharist, the Mass, in the same way. And so the Dominicans were allowed to do that. So before Vatican II, when Mass in the Western Church was in Latin, Dominicans celebrated what they called the Dominican Rite. It was originally an older Roman rite, and it was a little different. It was very similar, but there were some differences. And So it wasn't that they were forbidden to do the Tridentine Mass. They had an older one that the Pope had said was okay to use. So it would never, it wouldn't occur to Dominican to celebrate Mass in any other way. So this was our right, and so we did it. But I never heard it stated that, you know, we were forbidden to use any other. It was that we wouldn't want to because we had one that was even older, you know. Does that help?
Thank you for clarifying. Yes, that helps considerably. Thanks for clarifying that. Really appreciate your time on that.
Okay, good enough.
Thank you, Tom.
Take care.
People watching on Facebook, YouTube, Periscope today, and this question comes from Claire on Facebook, Father. So I will just read it to you because she typed it in. She didn't call us with that question, and it is this. How to trust God completely. I have a hard time. How to know what direction he gives us since we can't hear or see, and I have a hard time achieving this, even praying about this many times. She's having trouble trusting God.
Okay, well, the thing is, knowing whether you're trusting the Lord or not, if you're trying to trust, that's more than just a matter of trusting, because it's an expression of our love for him. So when we trust him without understanding, we're actually expressing our love for him, and it's not an easy thing to do. Which is very pleasing to him, that we're willing to put ourselves in a difficult or a rather painful situation because we want to please him. Nothing pleases him more than our desire to please him, even when we think we failed at it. So it's not a matter of being discouraged because you think you're letting the Lord down. Not at all. He reads our thoughts. He knows what our intentions are. And even though we don't appear to be successful on the outside, we're doing exactly what he wants. So I encourage you not to give up on trusting him. You know, Mother Teresa did that. You know, she had no input. I mean, she was just flat emotionally in her prayers for so many years. But if this is what the Lord wanted, this is what she gave him. She gave him all she had to give. And that's all he asks of any of us. So you're in a good position to express a good deal of love to him. And rather than be down because you're having this difficulty, rejoice in it because he's allowing you this ability to give yourself even more. That's a good thing. One day you'll recognize what a gift it was.
Thank you very much, Claire, and everybody who watches on Facebook, YouTube, and Periscope. Father, it seems to be one of the things that we hear quite a bit is that people feel prayer is not successful when it's not emotionally satisfying or when they can't achieve a certain emotional state, even if that state is something beautiful, like feeling a sense of trust in God.
Well, you know, and often when we think, boy, we've done it. We feel so good today. You know, this is a great day. Why can't I just do this all the time? Well, the thing is, we're getting all kinds of satisfaction out of it. We're giving less than we do when we don't have the satisfaction. We don't have the satisfaction. We're giving a lot more. And that's why the Lord gives us highs and lows, because we need the lows. The lows draw more good out of us than the highs do.
Well, what did you mean about Mother Teresa and feeling flat emotionally?
Well, she for many years she was in a dark night. She had no satisfaction from her prayers. She could be a source of inspiration to other people, but to herself she felt terrible. She just wanted so much to have some consolation, just some knowledge that she was pleasing him, and she wasn't feeling anything. She'd had that experience before, but he withdrew it, and she was doing all this good, but all the while just really struggling. But of course, the struggle was affecting a great merit, but also great good in the world. I mean, she was doing so much good as a result of the pain she was suffering. And it also kept her grounded because, you know, this is a woman that was synonymous with sainthood. I mean, non-Catholic, non-believers were considered her a saint.
Yes.
And she, you know, won the Nobel Peace Prize, and she had this worldwide community of sisters, and she was known for her love for the poor. I mean, she could have gotten a very big head.
Yes.
If she went grounded, and the Lord knew that, and kept her grounded.
Father Vincent Serpa, our guest this hour, your spiritual life is our topic. Any questions you have on the spiritual life, any pastoral concerns that you have, we're happy to take those calls. 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Most men will do almost anything to avoid deep theological discussions. Well, you don't need a doctorate in theology to listen to and enjoy the Catholic Cafe. Join me, Deacon Jeff Drzymski, along with my trusty sidekick, Tom Dorian, as we try and make manly sense out of living the Catholic faith.
The Catholic Cafe, Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern and Sundays at 5 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Live truth, live Catholic.
This is apologist Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about a truly unique resource just out from Catholic Answers Press. In Scripture, Jesus answered his critics again and again by using their own words against them, showing how even the enemies of the faith admitted crucial facts that undermined their own position. And it's been that way through the ages. It's proved impossible for those out to destroy the faith to mount their attacks without tripping themselves up and inadvertently testifying to the truth of what they're trying to destroy. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, best-selling author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes from biblical times through the 20th century and draws from their antagonistic words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. From the Pharisees to the Nazis, from the Crusades to the Reformation, he presents a parade of skeptics, heretics, pagan powers, and rival sects, each taking a turn in the witness's chair and giving an unexpected but compelling account in favor of Christ. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000. That's 888-291-8000, or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a Catholic bookstore in your area.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy you're here with us today. Next hour, oh, it's two priests today. We are especially blessed. We got Father Tad Boholcek. Second hour, we'll do issues in bioethics.
Him on Sunday. He was in Oakland at our place. He was giving a talk to the Dominican lady, and I was getting my food. I looked up, and he was across, and I said, what is your first name? He said, well, Father Tad. And I said, oh, I know who you are. You're on a program all the time.
Isn't that cool?
Small world, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a good priest, too.
I'm glad you got to meet him.
I think you might be reading something into that, Father. Well, we got more calls, Father, when I go to calls, but I want to say, you just told me on the break, and I'm going to share what you said to me on the break, that you never, when we were in the studio together, you never looked at me. You were looking in the camera, and now, because we're on Skype, you can see me, and you said to me at the break, I never realized how goofy you are.
And I didn't say how goofy you are. I said how goofy you look.
Oh. All right. I'm really glad you clarified that because that's way better. let's go to Jesse in Fresno, California. We just need to stop talking to one another, Father.
I guess so.
Jesse, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hello, Father. Thank you for accepting my call.
You're welcome.
And Father, I'm 64 years old. I lost my wife 4 years ago, but I know she belongs to God. Mm-hmm. She always did. She taught catechism for 20 years. And when God took her away, it was hard for me for the next 3 years. But now it's even harder for me because I sold my homes. I didn't care to have my properties no more. I moved to another town. And I told my kids, they're all growing up, that I cannot live alone. I need to find someone in my heart so I can I don't want to face death alone. Mm-hmm. I hope to God that someday I will see her, but it's lonely being by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I built crafts. I built crosses out of old wood. It's not the money I need. I mm-hmm. sell it beside the road, and I help people. When I see people in need, I feel for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I say to myself every time I go to bed, God, make the next day better.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't find a woman like my wife used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her so much, and I know she's in a better place, and I know when it's my time, God will take me.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to be that I'm having a hard time trying to find myself and having a hard time trying to answer God, why haven't I found somebody in my life the last 4 years? I don't want to give up in God, mm-hmm. in my faith for Catholics.
Right.
What do you feel about that, Father?
Well, are you how active are you? You said you do give some things to the poor. Do you have a regular schedule that you're able to engage in some kind of activity on a regular basis?
Father, I don't drink or smoke or go to these places where the devil worships.
Yeah, but what I'm wondering about, are you just on your own by yourself all day, or do you have things to do? Because it helps if you're doing something with other people. It'll help you not feel so alone.
Well,
is there something you do on a regular basis?
I don't have other friends. A lot of people I know. I spend my time in the garage building my woodcraft, and when I go out to sell it beside the road, that's my happiness when I see people.
Okay.
And I talk to them, but I don't have.
Have you ever thought of doing some volunteer work? You know, that might put you in contact with people on a regular basis. Maybe even if it's just once a week.
No, Father. Never.
Maybe joining St. Vincent de Paul and helping them. There might be some things you could do for them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I have a lot to offer, Father.
Well, I would strongly suggest, or go to your your pastor and offer your services to him. You know, there might be some things you could do around the parish. Anything to get you involved in outside of yourself would be a great help, because otherwise you just turn into yourself and it becomes more difficult. That's one of the difficulties of a good marriage, is that when the first person dies, the other one has a harder time afterwards. But there are things you can do that can make a big difference. And you don't necessarily have to marry someone in order to be more involved and feel better about yourself. I think it's just, you're just very lonely, and doing doing some kind of volunteer work would certainly be helping other people too, but it would also engage you in the life outside of yourself, and that would be a good thing, I think.
Okay.
So I strongly suggest you to check with your priest and ask if there's anything if he knows of any kind of volunteer work you could do that would help. St. Vincent de Paul might be one of them, but there might be something else too.
Jesse.
Okay, Father.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jesse. Thank you for that call. We'll certainly keep you in our prayers. But I would think, Father, too, that volunteering at St. Vincent de Paul or something like that would be a place where you would meet people who
sure,
are
people.
Really impressive people
yeah.
as
mm-hmm.
well. Let's go to Kathy in Victoria, Texas, listening on EWTN. Kathy, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Yes, I'm going to try to make this short as I can. My husband and I have been married for 30 years, but he's not Catholic and I am. Originally, we married by the justice of the peace, and then we...
Did we lose you, Kathy? Hello? Oh, Kathy, we lost you for a second. We heard that you were married by the justice of the peace, and then it went silent on us. So what happened after that?
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we were married by the justice of the peace, and then we got married in the church, and then we, I'm sorry, I got nervous there. got married in the church, and then we divorced. But we didn't get an annulment, and we never really split up, and then we got back together. Can I still go to communion? Am I still
sure.
considered married in the church?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all I needed to know, and I just wanted to make sure. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for that call, and thank God for that, Kathy. Another YouTube question, Father, real quick for you before we go to the break. T. Michelle on YouTube. How can one quiet one's mind when sitting in church waiting for our Lord's guidance? My mind is all over the place when I ask God a question.
Okay. Well, we all have that problem once in a while, or maybe more than once in a while. It depends. Focus on the crucifix. Look at the crucifix and start thinking about, why it's there, what it stands for, what actually historically happened that God would allow himself to be tortured as he was on our behalf. But don't worry about the distractions. When you recognize that your mind was wandering, then just go back, focus back on the Lord. And because the more you worry about distractions, that's the distraction itself. So don't be surprised. It's a human experience. It's involuntary. But when you recognize that your mind has gone over the place, then you just say, sorry, Lord, and, help me to be more focused and start talking to him. As I say, you're not a lone ranger. We all have problems with that at one time or another, and sometimes more than others.
Not me, Father. I am focused like a laser.
Well, I can understand that, of course.
I mean,
but you're a separate case.
No, I am. Just kidding. Sorry, Father. You know I am. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of Your Spiritual Life with Father Vincent Serpa on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
It's impossible to escape the fact that the Catholic faith is under attack today. All you have to do is glance at the news, look at the internet, or talk with people you know, and you'll encounter challenge after challenge. At Catholic Answers, one question we get all the time is how our experts went about learning the craft of apologetics. That's a question Catholic Answers founder Carl Keating has just given his answer to. It's found in his brand new book on the works that made him an apologist. Drawing on a lifetime of experience, Carl reveals the books that helped him learn to defend the Catholic faith. He also recounts numerous anecdotes, real-life situations he has encountered in his long career that illustrate the apologetic lessons he learned. Catholic Answers needs your help to do all of its apostolic work, including producing fascinating and informative books like this. To make your donation and get free copies of Carl Keating's new books, visit Catholic.com and click the Carl Keating banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Carl Keating banner at Catholic.com, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking book by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can give to anyone as a starting point for helping them to find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy to have you with us. Father Vincent Serpa, our guest this hour, and we are taking questions of a spiritual and pastoral nature. We do apologetics almost all the time, and we'll get back to those apologetics questions very, very shortly, but we take this hour for family concerns and prayer concerns and any other questions of a spiritual or pastoral nature. We go now to Kathy in Georgia, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Kathy, your question for Father Serpa.
Hi. Good evening, Father Sherpa.
Hi.
My question is, I've been dreaming about Jesus like several times, and he's telling me a lot of things in each dream, and I would remember it as I'm waking up, but then as the time I would wake up, and I can't remember it anymore, mm-hmm. but it's something like he would tell me something that needs to be changed, and then I would also dream about him in a church with some other priest, and it's just that I've been praying for it every day that I would remember what he's trying to tell me, and if he could tell me what he's trying to tell me, so I would understand. But what can you please give me an advice of how am I going to pray more, or what should I do in order for me to...
If the Lord is really talking to you through your dreams and he wants you to know something, you won't forget it because he's in control. You don't have to worry about it. But that's common. We'll dream things, especially the later sleep, you know, shortly before we wake up. We dream all kinds of things, and then we can't remember them. But if he's trying to communicate something to you, he's quite good at communicating when he wants to. So don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. Just be, you know, if it was a pleasant dream, give thanks for it, you know, but don't worry about it.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Okay.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much. Kathy, we go now to Brian in Lexington, Kentucky, listening on EWTN. Brian, your question for Father Sherpa.
Thank you for taking my call. Sure. This is short. I'm interested in an annulment after an almost 30-year marriage, and it was not an amicable divorce. As I read the materials, the only grounds are really that the marriage was not open to children. Mm-hmm. But during the annulment process, how do you prove that? Outside of the fact that we produce no children, how do you prove that?
Well, if there are people that you mentioned it to at the time that could vouch for it, that might be a help. I don't know how you would do it otherwise. But if you didn't talk to anybody about it, then that wouldn't be available. I don't know.
Okay.
It's hard. It's hard to. That's a hard one. You know.
And you're saying your spouse won't testify, Brian?
Right, because it was not very amicable.
I gotcha.
Well, were there other things wrong in the marriage that other people would know about?
Potentially, but not that, as I read the annulment materials, would meet a ground.
Were you very young when you got married?
I was 25. She was 21.
Oh. Okay. Well, there might be some other possibilities in that situation, but I would think the priest would be able to help you. Your local priest would be able to help you with that.
Do you have a priest at your parish or a deacon that's helping you with the annulment process?
Yes, parish priest.
Okay. Yeah. That's important.
Sure. I think that would be the. Check with him, see what he might say.
Thank you, Brian, very much. We go now to Tony in Stockton, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Tony, your question for Father Vincent Sherpa.
Yes, thank you. I was calling to ask, what is the difference between what the Protestants understand to be a close and personal relationship with Jesus Christ, as compared to what we believe it is in the Catholic faith, and what would be a good way for us to achieve that for us as Catholics, and how to explain it to a Protestant?
Well, having a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ shouldn't be any different for anybody. You know, that's something we all ought to have, because he certainly has come close to us by, you know, well, creating us and redeeming us. There should be no difference in that regard. Now, certainly there might be difference the way we look at Scripture and the way we interpret it, and the fact that we have a whole church authority that Protestants don't have, so they have to become their own popes in a sense, you know. But as far as their relationship with the Lord is concerned, their intimate relationship with Him, I don't see that there'd be any difference. And they have the same, you know, knowledge of Him through Scripture that we have. They know how much He loves us. They have the passion to reflect on, and so do we, you know. If you have a close relationship with the Lord, then you have something very much in common with Him. It's a matter of just relating to Him as a person, you know. That's the way He relates to us. You look at the way he treated people. Pardon?
Oh, yes. Well, I was going to say perhaps the question might be how to explain it to them, because many I've met don't believe that we do have that close relationship with Christ.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you couldn't get closer than Holy Communion when you're physically engaged with Him for that short amount of time when He's present with us until the host and, you know, becomes the host becomes a part of our body. I mean, it's no longer bread anymore. Once it's no longer has the appearance of bread in our bodies, then Christ isn't present to us in that physical way. But so it's a very intimate moment, you know. If Catholics don't take advantage of the personal relationship that they could have with the Lord, there's nothing to share. But if you have a close relationship with the Lord, it's the easiest thing in the world to you know, you can explain your relationship with someone you love very much to other people, you know. This is what you would be doing.
Great.
Well, the important thing is to have that relationship. Whether they think you have one or not is really secondary. The big thing is having it.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Okay,
Tony. Thank you very much, Father. Thank
you're welcome.
You.
Thank you. Okay. Appreciate that call, Tony, and appreciate whoever else is calling Father on his personal phone. We go now to Grant.
I wanted to throw this out the window.
Grant in Birmingham, Alabama, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Your question for Father Serpa.
Yes, Father. I had a question. It's kind of related to the previous callers. Is it necessary to have a spiritual encounter with God in order to have a relationship with Him? Because I hear a lot about, you know, sometimes in the charismatic Catholic renewal, you have to have this encounter, like, you know, God, like, speaking to you, or just like a feeling, might not be speaking, but, you know, in order to kind of, you know Him. So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, well, the thing is, those are extraordinary experiences. I mean, the Lord can do some very extraordinary things with people, you know, and you can appear to them too, you know, but for most people, that's not the case, and it doesn't mean that the Lord is distant from you because you're not having all these. These experiences I just mentioned a while ago about Mother Teresa had this years and years of little satisfaction. She had some extraordinary experiences early on, and then nothing. She just didn't feel anything, but she had her faith. You know, she didn't give up. She kept praying to Him. She prayed a lot, but not any great feelings of closeness or emotion, you know, but she didn't give up because she recognized how much He loved her, and she just kept faithful, and that's what's important, you know. Again, when we have all these gratifying experiences, you know, those are, you know, we're getting a lot out of it, you know, we're feeling a lot out of it, but then it's not drawing an awful lot of love out of us either, because we're being rewarded from it. So it's better for us that we grow in our faith and trust of Him with the minimum of those feelings. That's really the, I mean, you look at what the saints have experienced, you know, and those who have had extraordinary experiences usually have on the other side a lot of suffering, you know. The most visionaries who've seen the Lord, who've seen our Blessed Mother or seen the Lord, like St. Faustina and St. Bernadette and St. Catherine Labouré and the Children of Fatima, they had great consolations, but they had great suffering too. I mean, it brought on a lot of pain that they would never have had if they hadn't had those experiences. So there's a balance there. The Lord is the one who's in charge of it. So don't worry about the fact that you're not having all these experiences. And some people work toward having these experiences, work themselves up. There's no value to that at all. It's all about them, not about him. And we're really supposed to be all about him, you know?
Okay, Grant?
Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Grant. Rebecca in Columbus, Ohio, listening on EWTN. You're on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to clarify my marriage with my husband. We were married 4 years ago in a civil ceremony, and about a year thereafter, we both decided to be baptized at a non-denominational church. I went on to join the Catholic Church, and he did not. So I was calling to try to clarify if my marriage would be considered sacramental by the Catholic Church since we were baptized afterwards, or if I would need convalidation or some other way to, I guess, define the marriage according to how the church sees it.
No, you were not Catholics at the time, and you were married. The church would accept that as a valid marriage. When you became baptized, then it became sacramental. So you'd be considered, you wouldn't have to have it validated or anything. The church would consider it a valid sacramental marriage because you're both baptized. And you were married outside of the church before you became a Catholic, so that's okay, too. Okay?
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I love it when
you're
it's
welcome.
Good news like that, Father. I love those. Mm-hmm. Rachel in Washington, Missouri, listening on 1460 AM. We're short of time, so if you could phrase your question succinctly, Father will address it.
Sure. Thank you so much for taking that call.
Sure.
I have had anxieties growing up whenever I was younger, and it's been affecting my prayer life, and it's so hard for me to pray. Mm-hmm. And I've tried multiple things. I was just wondering if there's anything that you would suggest that I would do to help my anxiety go down, because it's really unsettling for me, and it's been very, very hard for me to pray and to connect more to my faith.
Well, one of the problems with anxiety is that it becomes a matter of anxiety itself. You know, you begin to worrying about being anxious, and that makes you even more anxious. Anything that you can do to relax and to recognize how much the Lord loves you, just sitting in his presence, and thinking about the good that he's created, the fact that he's given us color and sound and friends and loved ones, just thinking about things that help you to relax and recognize that you're in his presence is a good way to go. And not to get worried about having anxiety, because that only makes it worse. And the thing is, it's not necessary. And anxiety is, you know, I've known people that once they realized they'd been so anxious, they realized it was kind of a fiction. It was something they kind of engaged in it deliberately without realizing it. You know, just relax and know that you're loved, and regardless of anything else, you know.
Rachel, thank you for that call. We are at the end of the program, however, so we got to move on. Father, may we have your blessing before we go.
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. And I said end of the program, but it's just the end of the hour. We'll miss you, Father, but we have Father Tad coming in to talk about, Father Tad Boholchik, that is, coming in to talk about issues in bioethics. So hang on. We'll be right back with Father Tad on Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back.